Okay, if you have your Bibles, I went back through my notes and today on the children's story, and I started keeping records 17 years ago, I think it was, 13 or 17 years ago, and I try to tell that story every year. I try to tell some stories every year and throw in some new ones, not that I make up, but that I find, and I try to add some new ones every year. And really learn a lot from that story itself. So I trust that you'll, as you read the scriptures, you'll pull things out for your own sake. Tonight, a great lesson on bitterness. If you have your Bible tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to notice that in chapter 3, verses 7 through 39. We're going to notice that the kingdom is divided. In other words, Abner is supporting Ishbosheth, the king. And David has Joab as his general. And Abner is the general for Ishbosheth. And the kingdom is divided, 10 tribes and 1 tribe. 2 actually with the Levites, but they don't really count. So they don't have any land. So you'll notice, if you would, that in this passage a little argument comes up over a woman. And I want you to notice, Roman numeral 3, Abner rejected his king and tried to bring the other tribes of Israel to David for a united kingdom. So something happened with Abner and Ishbosheth. You'll notice, if you would, that in verse number 7, and Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth. He sees this former wife of Saul, he's dead. And he says, "Look, why is it you don't want me to have her?" Well, Ishbosheth was jealous. He had plenty of wives. And Abner wanted this lady for his wife. She was a beautiful lady. And it really upset him. And so you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 9, "So do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David." Now, you learn a lesson here tonight. Abner knew that David is to be king, and he's been doing wrong all the time anyway by supporting Ishbosheth. He knows that David is to be king. As this passage indicates, "as the Lord hath sworn to David." So he said, "Look, I know that God wants David to be king. I've been supporting you all this time." He finally sort of gets his heart right, but he's angry about it. Does it in the wrong spirit. And you'll notice he says, verse 10, "to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." In other words, bring all the tribes together underneath one leader. That would be David. And that's what God promised. But Abner had kept that from happening. It would have never happened without Abner. But he knew better. So you'll notice, if you would, A in the outline, Abner felt disrespected by Ishbosheth because a woman they both wanted. Notice one, the woman was a former concubine of Saul's. Now, Abner took her for his own and the king told him he couldn't have her. That's two. Notice B, Abner got very angry and decided to help King David become king of Israel and Judah. Now, understand why this is important, this woman here. One, Abner contacted David and asked to join him. So Abner follows through with his plan. You'll notice. Two, David agreed to receive Abner, but David said he had to bring David's first wife, Michal, back to him. Now remember, Michal was Saul's daughter. So don't get lost here in all the things going on. But you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 13, verse 12, when Abner sent to David and said, I want to bring the land together. David said, okay, but verse 13, but I will make a league with thee. But one thing I require of thee, and that is that thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. So understand, the women of kings were more than just a wife. They represented something. People respected those women. So whoever, if a king died, they married someone else, especially in the royal line, it sort of gave them a leg up on other people in the royal line. So if you remember, you don't have to turn there, but Solomon becomes king. But Adonijah had gotten Abiathar the priest to help him, and he claimed to be king. And he was king for a little while, a few hours. And then all of a sudden, David hears about it and proclaims Solomon king. What happened was, later on, you might know it, Adonijah says, look, are we okay, Solomon? I'm the older brother, but are we okay? He said, I'm okay as long as you don't do anything else devious. Because remember, he grew up with Absalom. So he knew that Absalom was devious. He said, okay, I won't. So a little while later, he says, hey, he goes to Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, and says, would you ask Solomon for me? He won't turn you down. He might me, but would you talk to him? I would like to have Abishag for my wife. Now, that was David's former concubine. Former wife, I'm sorry. And she said, sure. So she goes into David. She goes into Solomon. And Solomon says, why do you ask? She said, well, Adonijah would like to have her as his wife. And he said, are you asking for him the kingdom? And also for the priest Abiathar? Because they had gotten together, Adonijah and Abiathar, and tried to take over the kingdom. So this woman, Abishag, now, whoever had her, sort of had a leg up in the eyes of people for the next king. And so he was, again, trying to be devious around it. So this is exactly what's happening here. And he sees it again. It's the same kind of thing. Abner's not trying to be king, but he could have. And so Ish-bosheth said, no, you can't do that. But Ish-bosheth is a weak king. So that's the reason why there's a anger between these two here. And Ish-bosheth is weak. And Abner says, look, I'm done with you. I should have done this a long time ago. So you notice, if you would, A in the outline. Or this is B, 2A. Maybe this is for political reasons. I just explained to you political reasons why a former wife of a deceased king could easily be an advantage for you if you're trying to become a king and you're in the royal family. Adonijah tried it. Now Abner is trying it, but not evilly, it doesn't seem like. But you notice David is asking for his wife back, Michal. And it could have been for political reasons. He didn't want someone else to have her in the family. Two, notice B, maybe he just still loved her. Remember, she was his wife and protected him from Saul, her dad. He even put her life on the line once. Then notice C, maybe it was just the principle that she was his first wife. And he just had a special kinship with her. So we don't know what the reason is. But you're going to notice, if you would, that David made a feast for Abner. They agreed to bring the whole nation to David as the king. And David sent Abner back home in peace. Notice in verses 20 and 21. And Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. So David's excited about getting all the kingdom back together. He's excited for the country. He's excited for himself. And Abner said unto David, I will rise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Now, it's important to understand that Abner leaves in peace, because most of the time when a king took over a country, he would slay everybody in the royal family so no one could compete with him. He would also take the former military leaders and slay them, or they would run for their lives. David was not like that. David trusted the Lord to take care of him. And so he didn't worry about those things. So you'll notice, if you would, he doesn't kill Abner. He speaks to Abner with grace and kindness and allows him to come to the kingdom, even though he knew he did the wrong thing. And he even admitted, I know David is to be king. So for 7.5 years, Abner tries to make Ish-bosheth a strong king, knowing in his heart that wasn't right. And so tonight you and I can learn a lesson about Abner. And he's killed a little later. Don't know if this is part of why. Sin always has a price. But when you and I know something, and we ought to do it, there's a lot of people that are called to the mission field. They don't surrender. They know it in their heart for many years. And then there's some people that maybe they know they ought to do something, and they're not doing it. And so they just put it off for year after year after year after year. If you and I know something we ought to do in our hearts, then we ought to be obedient to the Lord. Abner wasn't. 7.5 years he put off bringing the kingdom together. He was the only man that stood between Ishbosheth and David reuniting the kingdom. And yet, the Lord allowed it. And so he fights for Ishbosheth and had the ten tribes. And when this one woman came up, so he wasn't a spiritual man at all. But he's trying to bring the kingdom back to David because he knows it's right. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, D in the outline, Joab returns from the battle and heard that Abner met with David. Notice one, Joab was bitter and hated Abner for killing his brother in battle. Look at verse 30. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel in battle. If you have your Bible, turn back to 2 Samuel 2 and notice, if you would, verse 22. 2 Samuel 2, 22. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit he refused to return aside. Wherefore Abner with his hinder end of his spear smote him under the fifth rib, and the spear came out behind him, and he fell down and died in the same place." So in the course of battle, Joab's brother is slain, Asahel. Well, Joab and his brother Abishai did not forget it. And they said, one of these days we're going to kill Abner, killing our brother. Now it's in battle. It's a lot more difficult when it's murder, but this isn't murder. He tried to get him to stop. He tried to get him to leave him alone. But Asahel was trying to get a notch on his sword, you might say, that I killed the mighty Abner. And Abner was a mighty man. And instead, he didn't even slow down. He just takes his spear and it goes right through him. So he's a strong man, a brave man. And Asahel dies. Well, Joab logs in his mind and says, I'm not forgetting that. So notice, if you would, in verse 27, when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside to speak to him in the gate, to speak with him quietly. So Joab very subtly hears from David. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21, Abner said unto David, I will rise and go gather all Israel unto my Lord the king. So this is done righteously, Abner. And you'll notice in verse number 22, and behold, the servants of David and Joab came for pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for it sent him away and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was riding with him came, they told Joab, saying, hey, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king and he has sent him away and he has gone in peace. Joab came to the king. Now, Joab never was very respectful of King David. He always spoke his mind. Notice, if you would, verse 25. Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And David said, oh no, he's turning over the kingdom to me. Joab said that because he wanted Abner dead. And notice in verse 27, now we started reading a while ago, Abner was returned to Hebron. Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. So he murders Abner as payback. It's been years. And so he didn't forget it. And you'll notice there was a plot between he and his brother. Notice verse 30. So Joab and Asahel, brother, slew Abner. Don't know if they'd caught together a plot. Don't know what it was, but they had moved around to try to get him alone. They did. And Abner said, and Joab said, I'll kill him if you get him alone. I want you to notice that bitterness can destroy any of us. It can be a good reason. It can be a bad reason. Notice, if you would, in the outline. Joab had returned from battle and heard that Abner met with David. Now, Joab was bitter because he killed his brother. He wouldn't listen to the reasons. Didn't matter that his brother was at fault. Two, he told David that Abner was spying and not serious. And notice, if you would. Three, Joab secretly sent after Abner and met him. Now, Joab and his brother Abishai were in together on it. He used the meeting as an opportunity to kill Abner. Bitterness will always get us into trouble. I want you, the word tonight is bitterness. I want you to understand, this is just a story of a king and Joab not doing the right thing for 7.5 years, so we can learn the lesson from that. Look, when you know something is right to do, do it right now. Don't put it off. Well, you'll notice, if you would, the people assumed that David was part of the killing of Abner, but he wasn't. Anytime you and I do the wrong thing to someone, we can always mislead others. Notice, if you would, in verse 36. All the people took notice of it, and it pleased them what David did. As whatever soever the king did, it pleased all the people. And all the people and all the Israel understood that day that he was not, that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. So when a opposing general dies, everybody just says, oh, the king had him slain. Because that's what everybody did. But David was trying to do right at this point in time and didn't want anybody to think that. David's trying to do the right thing. He's been a good king. He's 30 some odd years old now. He's trying to be a good king. And you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, notice he says, one, David grieved over Abner. Now, how did David show his people that he was not at fault, that he didn't want to do this? And all of us in this room, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many have ever been blamed for something you didn't do? People thought you did because it made sense. A lot of people go to prison because it makes sense, but they didn't do it. So David is unintentionally framed that he had Abner killed. Now, anytime we do what's right, God always protects us. And that's what he does here with David. So you'll notice, if you would, David grieved over Abner. He respected Abner as a man of principle and bravery. He knew Abner was a great man. And so notice the way he treats him. Verse 32. They buried Abner and Amnon. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. Now this is not put on. David has a genuine heart of compassion. Remember, he wept over Saul. Folks, David has the kind of heart God wants. All of us in this room, we ought to have a compassion toward even our enemies, people that are mean to us. That's what the Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you. How can we ever have ill feelings toward people when they do us wrong? Because it's natural. But you and I have to fight it. You cannot let ill feelings get in your heart. Then bitterness starts. It's easily done. It's Satan's plan. The second bitterness gets in our heart, we cease to be in the will of God and we cease to be able to be used of God like he wants. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth its own bitterness. So you're the only one knows, really, if you're bitter deep down. If it's something that is not visible, you're the only one that knows. Over time, if it's bad enough, people can tell you're bitter. They can see by the way you bristle when a name's brought up. They can see the way you talk about somebody behind their back if you don't like them. Notice, if you would, in the outline. Two, when the people offered David food, he rejected it until his grieving time was past. Notice, if you would. in verse number 33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool died. He died like somebody that just got was treated evilly. Notice, if you would, in verse 35, when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swears, saying, so to God do me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. It was respectful that you didn't eat. You fasted and respectfully appreciated someone until sun goes down. Then you could eat. So they were watching David to see if he was going to eat or if he was going to say, no, I'm not going to eat at all. Because it was a clear indication that the king was not a part of it. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse 36, and all the people took notice of it. Now, folks, tonight, people take notice of you. They take notice, if you'll notice here, they took notice of David, whether they ate or not. They take notice of you where you sit if you're upset with someone. Someone comes in and sits, and they come in the church over here, and you sit over there. I was at a church many years ago that asked me to come in to preach a school retreat, a school revival. And I'd gone to preach as a youth pastor, preaching the revival. And the church asked me to preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night. So I was preaching Sunday morning or Sunday night, I don't remember when it was. But I noticed very clearly some people came in and sat over on this side, and somebody else came in and sat on this side. And after the service, I'd asked somebody, hey, I just noticed, seemed a little strange that somebody came over here and somebody came over there. They looked much the same. They're brothers. Mad at each other. And long story short, they'd gotten right later on in the revival and came down to the front and got their hearts right and got everything together. But yet I noticed, and everybody else knew it. So when he came in, here I'm a preacher, how would I notice that this guy and this guy, but you could just sense something was wrong. When I asked him, he kind of looked at me and says, yeah, they're not in agreement with each other. That's the way he said it. So folks, tonight, people notice when you and I are upset. They notice when we try to make things right. So you'll notice, if you would, here that the people noticed King David and that he had not eaten. And so you'll notice, if you would, E2, the last sentence, anytime we do right, it always affects others. Anytime we do wrong, it always affects others. People notice. Now, folks, listen tonight. You notice F in the outline. Bitterness will prevent us from seeing and doing right until we remove it from our hearts. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to notice Proverbs chapter 4. Turn your Bible, if you would, Proverbs chapter 4. Once you see this verse, you've heard it, but I want you to apply it to this passage. Proverbs 4. Notice with me, if you would, verse number 23. Now, this is Solomon to his sons about bitterness. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues. They're the ways of life. So he's telling his son, say, son, I've seen bitterness. I've seen what it does. I've seen how it affects people. Sons, watch your heart. Keep your heart. The word keep, Hebrew word here, is to guard. It's to stand outside and guard your heart. If you've ever seen the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they go back and forth and back. It's to guard sacredly that tomb. And so you and I have to look at our heart and say, I've got to guard my heart because the old devil's after it. And if he can get you, if he can get one thing done to you. Now, notice the outline. One, bitterness results from an unforgiven offense. It would not surprise me in the story I told, the children's story, that the elder brother was bitter at the younger brother because he made his dad look bad. He said, give me my money. You read the passage, it says, give me. Samson did the same thing. Get her. Samson embarrassed his parents. Well, you'll notice here this son embarrasses his father. I'm certain the older brother said, man, that's not right. I'm not forgiving you for what you've done to my dad. and he could see his dad grieve. You and I cannot take up the offense and the hurt of someone else. We should always grieve with people. We should always care about people. When someone has a burden or has a need, we should care about them. We should pray for them. But we never take up their offenses. Notice, if you would, in the outline, bitterness results from an unforgiven offense. Bitterness is not instant. A hurt comes up and we have something that happens to us. Somebody says something and it sticks in our heart. You think about it a little while. How many have ever had a splinter? A splinter, you get in your finger, it doesn't instantly bother you necessarily. From time to time, I'm mowing. I mow around. We have some cedar trees, and the cedar trees, as they have the little limbs die, those things are like needles, and they stick you. And so every once in a while, I'll get them in my fingers and I have to pull them out. And I'll miss one as I'm mowing. And the next day, I'll notice, well, there's a red spot. Oh, I see a little, I see a little black thing right there. And I'll try to get it out. If I don't, it keeps getting worse. And it keeps getting worse. That's what bitterness does. But it always comes. And the second I get that little bitty splinter out, it takes a day or two. It's all gone. If you and I don't watch our heart, keep your heart with all diligence. It means keep your eyes open for anything that sticks in your heart. Somebody said something about you. Somebody said something about one of your friends. Someone did something at work. Folks, you have to be careful. Bitterness is a subtle thing, and it can get in every one of our hearts in this room. It's been in my heart before. You have to keep it out. I mean, it's real quick and easy to get bitter at someone when you see them make your mother or your dad cry. I mean, some man cheated my dad out of $80,000 when he was building his business. And we went over and my dad got a chair out of it. A folding chair in exchange for that. And I saw all that my dad went through and the grief and the hurt. And man, I didn't like that guy. Didn't know who he was, but I didn't like him. And you know, you learn, look, that's not the right way to do it. And then, of course, I saw my mother cry. And you can't get bitter either. You have to protect your heart. It's easy to get bitter at anybody that hurts your family. But you and I cannot get bitter. It's never right. It's always an offense. It takes a little time, but if you don't get it out quickly, it begins to bury itself in your heart. And now notice, if you would, too, we must forgive and confess to God we want forgiveness for holding a grudge. Bitterness causes a grudge. It causes us to want to pay them back some way. That's exactly what happened to Joab. Bitterness got in his heart for his brother. It had a legitimate reason. I mean, he killed his brother, but it wasn't legitimate because it was in war and Abner tried to avoid it. He should have looked at his brother and says, "You know, I grieve over him, but he didn't have to die. He took it upon himself to take the bravest man in Israel and no reason for that. I wish he'd have just listened to Abner, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to kill him for it." That's happened many a times. Somebody said, "I'm going to pay somebody back for something." Tonight, don't hold a grudge. An offense, oh, that wasn't right. Begin to think about it, turns into bitterness. As longer it goes, turns into a grudge. We carry it around. We carry it around like a weight. I'm going to pay them back when I have a chance. Well, I may never have a chance, but when I do, I'm going to take advantage of it. Every time I hear somebody talk about that person, oh yeah, I know them. You, if you only knew what I knew, it would just... A grudge caused us to do all kinds of things. The only solution, notice, two, we must forgive and confess. That's the solution. Forgive in our heart, confess it to the Lord. Now, it's like when we forgive, it doesn't just go away instantly. It's like that splinter. You got a red spot because it's caused infection in your finger. And it causes a little infection in your heart, or a lot. Especially if it's become a grudge. So you notice, three, we must begin to pray for the person who offended us to make sure our heart is clean. Do you understand tonight that you and I have to begin to pray for other people? Anytime somebody causes me something that bothers my heart, and I can sense my heart is bothered, I try to put them on my prayer list. That's the reason my prayer list is a mile long. Sometimes I look at it and I say, look, I'm going to pray for that person. And I'll pray for it until it's gone. And then I can drop them off the list. I don't hold grudges at all. But every once in a while something does something. Let's say someone says something about one of you. You're important to me. It's easy for me to say, well, that wasn't right. And then I have to pray, Lord, forgive them. Lord, bless them. And so I notice that as long as I pray for them, then the Lord begins to soften my heart. And the infection begins to go away. Tonight, if somebody's done something, you may have a long prayer list until you learn to say, I'm not going to let those things. I'm going to guard my heart. And then your prayer list gets shorter because you're guarding your heart. I'm not going to let that get in. I'm not going to have that thought. I'm not going to have that happen. So notice, if you would, four in the outline, God will give us favor in others' eyes when we forgive things and do others right, especially when people don't deserve it. May God give us a clean heart. Tonight, if you were to look at David, why did the people, listen to this, verse 36 of 2 Samuel 3, and all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them. As whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. Why is that? Because David's reputation was he didn't pay Saul back, and he hunted him for 8 years. He's not paying Abner back, and he deserved to be paid back. Wow! We love David. Everything that David did, it pleased them. Tonight, if you and I do the right thing, God will bless us and grant us favor in other people's eyes. Because it's not natural to put off bitterness when somebody does you wrong. It's supernatural. And that can only be done by the Spirit of God. So between husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins, people that have done you wrong, forgive them. Ask the Lord, help me to forgive them, Lord. Put them on your prayer list. Confess it as sin, and God will give you strength. Tonight, let's learn the lesson that Joab didn't learn. By the way, does anybody remember how Joab died? He died in the temple, holding on to the horns of the altar, because God said, payday's come. He was killed primarily for Abner's murder by Solomon later on. So tonight, there's always a price for sin. Be careful of bitterness. Let's bow our heads to a word of prayer tonight. Maybe you're here. Someone's done something to you. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, somebody has done something to me. Would you pray with me? I don't want to be bitter. Would you slip up your hand all over the building? I just want to pray to you about it. Yes, yes. I see those hands. Yes, yes. Many hands. I see them. Someone's done something to you. Yes, yes. I do not want to be bitter. I want to encourage you tonight. Plead with the Lord to give you forgiveness in your heart. Begin to pray for that person that God would bless them. Pray for those that despitefully use you, and God will bless you. Your prayer list gets shorter and shorter, and you become more and more blessed of God. Lord Jesus, tonight, speak to our hearts. I thank you tonight, dear Lord, for the clear-cut lesson of what bitterness can do to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to guard our hearts. I pray that you'd bless the folks tonight. Thank you for having them come tonight. I pray that the lesson on bitterness would cause all of us to live cleaner and better this week. Lord, help us to protect from the old devil getting anything into our hearts. I pray that you'd give us forgiveness, Lord. Help us to be able to forgive quickly and easily and to pray for others. Lord, I pray that you'd hear our prayers tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.